And it's, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So let's see. So we're going to digress now a little bit. In order to understand the Rambam Shita on this Gemara, on our Gemara is the case about the, you know, the fruit, the Abaye, about the fruit on the clay, on the water. If that's on Nachar or not. Okay, as we did last time. We explained the Abaye according to Tosis. So in order to do, so then when I was doing that, I thought, let's look at the Rambam. And the Rambam's a little bit tricky. He brings in this thing about, he has this funny line about Shlo Nacha Gabe Ha'aretz, or something like that. So trying to figure out what the Rambam meant by that, and I saw that the term of being Nachal Gabe Ha'aretz came up earlier in the Rambam. So that being in Halacha Beis. So that being the case, I just figured, let's forget the Gemara for the time being, and let's just take up the Rambam. Okay? And then we'll come back. Okay. So it's Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel, he says, I guess from the top. Okay? So Halacha Aleph is the basic Halacha. Ina Motzi Mirshus L'Rishus, El Mavi Rishus Harabim, Chutz Larva Amos, Chayav, שיאקר חיפץ מעל גבי מקום שיש בו ארבע טווחים, על ארבע טווחים הוא יעשר, ויניח לגבי מקום שיש בו ארבע טווחים, ארבע טווחים. Okay, so basically, by not so, you need דל דל. You need הקירן הנחה from דל דל. Okay, that's the basic הלכה. Okay, so then. Okay, good. Pays. Okay, so that's the introduction, that's the basic הלכה. We explained that, we've been dealing with that for a while. Okay, יודו של אדם חשוב עלו כארבע על ארבע. Okay, so this is also something familiar with, right? Your hand is considered like a dalal dalal. Okay. Now, you'll see here, now he's going to have two cases. Okay, two cases which are going to be illustrations of this principle. Okay, lefikach. Im akar hachefet miyad adam ha'omed bershos zu, v'nicho biyad adam acher, omed bershos shnia, chayef. So basically, if you have two people, and you have an object in the hand of one guy and one bershos, and you pick it up out of that hand and put it into the hand of another guy, so you're chayev. Okay, because you're oker it from a makom dalal dalad, and you put it into a makom dalal dalad. What's the makom dalal dalad that you put it into? His hand. And that's the makom dalal dalad you picked it up from his hand. Right? His hand. Good. Okay, v'chein, additionally, okay, so apparently right away, why is he giving another case? But okay, he's giving another case. V'chein, im haya omei b'achas m'nishtei rishul yisaylo, you're sitting one rishos. You push out your other rishos shniya, and you stick your hand into the other rishos. V'akar hachefet mimana, you pick something up from on the floor, I guess. Oh, miyad adam ha'omed, but or from the hand of a guy who's standing in there. V'hichzir yado elav, and you bring your hand back to yourself. Chayav, you're chayav. Okay. V'afal pi shelo hiniach hachefet b'makom she'omed ba, even though you don't put the chafta on the floor. Ha'ol v'u biyado. Since it's in your hand, harayu kimunach baratz. So it's like it's on the floor. It's like it's on the floor. You don't have to put it on the floor. It's like it's on the floor. Okay? It's like it's a munach on the floor. Okay? So again, you pick it up out of the other source, pull it back to you. You don't have to put it down on the floor. Okay? You don't have to put it down on the floor. Okay. So first of all, this is a new idea. In fact, Rashi, for instance, on the Mishnah, or Bezim and Aleph, where he talks about the case where you pick it up from another guy's hand, he says, "O shenotal mitocha vehotzi hachefetz." So if you put your hand and pull out the chefetz vehiniach bereshus harabim, and you put it down in reshus harabim, and there's in this case where you pick it up out of the other guy's hand, he says, and you put it down, okay, on the floor. It's the floor bereshus harabim vehiniach. So I mean, it seems that Rashi holds you actually need a hanacha. Can't just pull it across. That's what we've been thinking. I mean, you've been thinking, you need a kiran anacha. Where's your anacha? Just pulled it back to you. You didn't put it down yet. But that's what he's. That's what the Rambam's holding. Okay, that's a chiddush. I'm saying it's a chiddush. It's not so simple. But as you're asking, where do you hear this from? This is a chiddush. Okay. Fine. But presumably, so it would seem. Why does it work though? Because I guess that's part of yada shadon chesulik dal dalad. But what's funny here?
Wouldn't it just be
Harry Vidalad? Right, exactly. What does it mean, Harry Kimunach Baratz? Baratz? He just said your hand is a Makom Dalal Dalad. Right? Yodam Shalom Shuluk Dalal Dalad. So it's not that it's Kimunach Baratz, it's Kimunach on your hand. For instance, in the first case, right, Lefikach, in Perek Halacha Bay, you also know the Lalit. The Fika Chamakar Chayfet Miyara Adam Homemade Bereshusu Vinyach Biyadam Acher Bereshus Niachayev. He doesn't say because it's like you're Meiniachin on the Haaretz. He just says Yichayev. Presumably, I wears Anacha in your hand. Your hand is a Makom Dalal Dalit. So if your hand's a Makom Dalal Dalit, so why is he saying since it's in your hand, it's like it's on the floor. It's like it's on the floor. It's not like it's on the floor. It's like it's in your hand. Your hand's Dalal Dalit. That means like it's on the floor. I mean, what's so special about the floor? I mean, the hand is dollar dollar, the floor is dollar dollar. Right? And what's the second case? I mean, apparently he's explaining it differently. You know what I mean? He's like, you're bringing a whole new thing here, it sounds like. Not that the ground is all there.
Yeah.
Right. It sounds like, I'm saying, it sounds self-defeating, because the whole idea is that the yad is like dollar dollar, it means it's its own holder. Now you're saying it's like it's melech on the aretz. It sounds like it's an intermediary or something like that. It's not really a good holder, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no significance, right? There's no significance of aretz. That's the problem. What's aretz? Aretz, the whole thing is alad alad. That's Rambam in Halacha Aleph. He just doesn't say anything about the aretz. He says you need a makom arba al arba. So if the yad is arba al arba, then why is he saying it's like it's melech aretz? It's not. It's like it's alad alad. There's no primary din of aretz here. The primary halacha is alad alad. The yad is alad alad. So what's he saying? It's like an aretz. It's nothing to do with the aretz. It has to do with the fact that the yad is dalal dalal. The aretz itself is only because of dalal dalal. There's three people. Can just clarify the two cases? Because the other son of Chushul Klar Bar Larva, Lefikach. Okay, now case one is in Makar. There's three guys. There's two guys in respective Rishuyos. I guess you're like on the border or something. You pick it up out of one guy's hand, then you put it into the other guy's hand. Okay, in the other Rishuyos. That's case one. Okay, so you're doing an akira, a definite akira from one guy's hand, then a hanacha into another guy's hand. Mm-hmm. Case two is where there's only one guy. Not only three, there's one guy. You're basically, I mean, one or two, but one, essentially. You basically stick your hand across the border, pick the thing up from the other rishos, bring it into your rishos, and you don't even put it down. You don't even put it down. So I saw that in Frankel, I was looking around, in Frankel they quote, they noticed, they say the Sfas Ames notices this problem. Notices the Machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam. He quotes the Tosas. Tosas on Gimel and Aleph, who brings up the issue. He says it's not clear from our Mishnah. Tosas on Gimel and Aleph, Kiyos Gufa. It's not clear whether, he seems to me he's not sure whether you're putting it down or not. But the Sfas Emes points out it's Machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi. He brings in some other thing. The Rosh, I think, implies. I forgot which way. But I mean, they bring it up. He also goes different in Rishon. I don't know the Achron. I forgot who it was. That's Tzvas Chaim, I think. But I have it at home.
Who's
this one? It's Achron. We have it in there. But he brings it on. So that's the Tzvas Chaim on Be'ez Manalf on the Mishnah. Just because there's one thing I just figured, like, no one noticed. I just noticed this thing. It's like, Rambam seems to be a new idea. And then I looked around because it sounds like a Chiddush to me, this Rambam. I mean, I always thought you need an Achron. And then I looked and I saw this Rashi. Yeah, you do need an Achron. You know? So then just like looking around, no one's even talking about it. So I don't think I had the Frankel then, but I looked at the Frankel here in the back, in the Sefer Maftach. It's very good by the Frankel. If you're ever like wondering about something, you see the Rambam, you're just wondering, just for questions on the Rambam, you have questions on the Rambam, you want to for their arguments or whatever. I mean, the Frankel's very good. The Hagos V'Tziyunim, Mekoros V'Tziyunim, and then in the back, the Sefer Maftach. They bring down basically any question that you're having, it's pretty much someone asks it. Yeah, I'll show you this idea is funny. Like you may say it's lav dafka. Like mechalar, it's whatever, that's what he means. I don't know. He means dalal dalal. But you'll see if you look at the Rambam, sometimes he says it's like it's considered munachalar, and sometimes he just says arba larba. Like in Alcha Gimel, for instance. He says, like ochol yotzim rishos, if you're eating the chishev lohoti ochol piv mirshos roschayv, and you plan to carry it out in your mouth, you're chayav. Your mouth isn't dalal dalal. This is achshavei, right? Or whatever that we call it. Mimneisha machshav till me simo piv makom arba. Afish lo tzik. Don't see where the machshava makes your mouth makom arba. He doesn't say anywhere that it's. And the further next is also machshav to tzik. He's welcome yalgav makom arba. He doesn't say anywhere it's about the aretz. He just says your mouth becomes like makom arba. Doesn't say kumunach. And then if you look in halacha hey though, he does. He says, you pick up the water. He says, the water is all like it's menach on the aretz. And then he says, when the nut on the fruit, he says, shalo akame agave, sorry, shalo nachu haperos agave haaretz. mean, you go through these Rambams, you see, there's like, sometimes he's mentioning the Aretz, and sometimes he's mentioning Dalet al Dalet. I mean, that's why I was doing Dalet, and he mentioned Aretz, and I thought, what's Aretz? And I see, right in the very first halacha, in Beis, he mentions Aretz. You know, so he's, something's going on here that we're not aware of. You know? True. I mean, so that's a good question, this altogether. The second case, how does this have anything to do with V'chein? What's in this halacha? Because it's not, if you tell me that it's really Kemurach Ba'aretz, so then what does it have to do with Yoddo Shaladam Chshuvik Dalet al Dalet? You're really saying it's like it's on Aretz. So it has nothing to do with you. And the case is, could be you taking it from a guy's hand, or could be you taking it from the ground. So let's say you take it from the ground and pull it back. So now it's Kemurach al Aretz. So where's the Yoddo Shaladam Chshuvik Dalet al Dalet? It's not the Dalet al Dalet. It's like it's Kemurach al Aretz. Different idea. By the way, the Magen Avraham Paskins like the Rambam. It's also Franklin reference. But it's in Shimem Zayin, Sifkot and Gemel. Okay, that's how he look. He has it. He doesn't have Rashi or anything, but his Paskins like that, like this Rambam. Like, for instance, I'm just asking, where's the Maisa Hanacha in this case? So, right, I mean, Maisa Hanacha typically means you put it down. But the Rambam sounds like he's saying, "V'afal pisha lo ki niach ha'chefetz b'magum shu'o made bo," even though you're not placing it down there. "Olu b'yado harehu kemunach ba'aretz," it's like it's a munach. Okay, fine, it's like it's a munach. Let's say you buy that. Okay, but so where's the ma'isa hanacha? Like, there's two problems here. One problem is that how is it on the ground? Another thing is, did you put it on it? Like, is there a ma'isa hanacha? So even if you want to say your hand is like a munach somehow, but doesn't seem like there's a Maisa Hanacha. Right. Okay, so I think I'm right. Is that you see from the Rambam, we said this by Zerika also, but there's no special halacha of a Maisa Hanacha. But the Hanacha essentially means that it's an establishment of a makam Hanacha. It's not like a Maisa. Like you see when you throw it, there's no Maisa Hanacha, but you caused it to be a Munach through you throwing it. I mean, there are different ways of learning it there, but it sounds like in this Rambam, he's holding, there's no specific din of like a tsuras ha-maisa of hanacha. Like according to Rabbi Akiva, for instance, kuto kemisha hanacha. There's no maisa hanacha. The idea that your action has to be giving it a din makom, a din of a munach. So he's saying, even though you didn't do a maisa hanacha per se, but that doesn't matter. It's kemunach baratz. There's no halacha of a maisa hanacha. Okay, but still, the question is, fine, that's nice, but still, why not just say, because your hand is Dalet al Dalet? Why say your hand is Dalet al Dalet? What do you need to say, Kemunach Ba'aretz? I mean, it doesn't make that question go away, but I'm just saying, that it must be, he's holding, you don't need a Maisa Hanacha, right? Okay, it's good, it's a side point, but Chayim's saying, why does it say in Halach Aleph, Eina Batsim Shus HaShus, basically, Chayiv, Ad Sheyakar HaChefetz, O Yiniach, right? V'yiniach. You should just say that to be a Hotzah demands that you do Akira and Hanacha. Why is he saying it's like you're not Chayav for Hotzah until you do Akira and Hanacha? I mean, it's like Tzaruch, Lakar, Liniach, you know. There's three stops. You have to pick it up, cat transfer, and put it down. But what I'm just saying is it's good. It's because if he said that, it would sound like Hotzah is a three-step process. And if you're missing the Akira and Hanacha, you basically don't have Hotzah. Because Hotzah means you're Oker it from a Makom. You from a makom, then you transfer, and then you put it down in a makom, and then there's nothing if you don't have all those. But what I'm saying is, no, the really hotzah is that you're changing its din rishos, which is the essence, the transferring the rishos. It's just that, like, lacks in kviyah. The transfer rishos has to be kviyah, has to be a kavua change in rishos, has to be a malacha. So in order for it to be a din malacha, so that you need a kiran hanacha to be machshiv the hotzah. But it's like, the Hotzah isn't Chayav. It is Hotzah, short without a Akira Hanacha. It's not Chayav because unless it has like Kiyam or Kviyas to it. So you need an Akira and you need a Hanacha. But it's not pshat that that's not considered Hotzah. Hotzah is like transferring his Rishos from Rishos to the other. So he did transfer his Rishos. Just the lacks, you know, Chayav until that point. Again, but if he said that you need all of them, you'd think that without one, it's not, like I said, by Bishol. Say Bishol, it's not Bishol unless it's Machon Yisrael. That's nothing if you don't do Machon Yisrael. It's not Bishol altogether. Here, it's Hotzah, but you're not Chayav because it's lacking the Kviyas. Twice is like Yisrael Dorabonon if you don't do Akira, if you don't do Anacha. Because you're still doing the Hotzah, just lacking the full expression. So Chaim, so you're saying is good though, before. Okay, so back to our thing. So Chaim's saying is that, back to trying to explain why he's saying Kemunach Baratz. So Kemunach Baratz. So the thing is like this, is that if you're putting your hand across the Roshos, let's say you again, you pick it up, you pull it back to the Roshos. So you can't, the question is, why not just say your hand is now al dalad? Hand is now al dalad. What do you have to say? It's like your hand is part of the, part that's Kemunach Baratz. Right? But the thing is where's the Makom Hanacha? So if you're going to say that your hand is Dalad on Dalad, so now what's happening is basically you're being Oker it. There's three things, basically. There's three things. There's the Makom where you're Oker it from. There's the Makom, there's the transferring, the thing which is doing the transferring. And then there's the Makom which is Kavua in. You know what I mean? So the Ram holds that you can't say, my hand is transferring it, and that is the Makom Dalad al Dalad. Because the transferer, as you're transferring it with your hand to a new makom, okay? So you can't transfer it to your yad. You know, when you put your hand across, you can't say, I'm transferring it to my yad. What's the makom I'm transferring it to? My hand, which is dalad dalad. Because your yad is the transferer. You know what I mean? The transferring means you're transferring it from something to, with something to somewhere else. You know, you're not transferring it to your hand. Your hand is doing the transferring. So therefore, you can't say that it's a munach in my hand, which is dalad al dalad, because that's the hand of the transferer, so that can't be the makom. So he has to make recourse to saying is, besides for the hand being a makom dalad al dalad, the hand is really like an extension of the ground. It's part of your body, which is part of the ground. It's the method of putting it on the ground. Okay, so it's like it's a munach ba'aretz, because it can't be a munach on your hand. It can't be a munach on your hand because that is, your hand is doing the transferring. So your hand is like hitting on two roles. It's the transferer as a hand, but then once you get into the new Roshos, it's just like an extension of the Roshos. Extension of your body, which is an extension of the floor. So then in that role, it's not a munach on your hand. It's a munach on the aret through the vehicle of your hand. So the hand like switches roles. Okay, it switches roles from being the transfer to just being from being its own entity to being just like a part of the Roshos. If it's still its own entity, then it's the same object being having two identities. It's transferring it to somewhere, right? It's transferring to be transferring it to somewhere. You can't transfer it to yourself. That's not transferring. It's already in the hand. So insofar as it's the hand per se, so you can't, the hand is doing the transferring, it can't be the thing you're transferring to. But if the hand becomes not a hand, but a part of the body, so then your hand transferred it to the Rishos, and your hand becomes like a different thing. It becomes an extension. It doesn't become like its own chafta. So that's going to be a din hanacha. That is a munach on the aretz. And the hand is just a way to relate it to the aretz. And then it's the passive hand, so to speak. The hand, because the hand shifts roles. So when the hand is an active role as a mover, as a carrier, and then the hand is just like as passive, as like the holder for the Roshos. It's like the table or whatever. So the hand, which is transferring it, is active, but now it becomes a different thing. It becomes just like an extension of the guf. It becomes a part of it's the makom hanacha. So it becomes the transfer. There are two different hands. I mean, it could be as Rashi doesn't hold by it. Rashi could be held, you can't say two different hands. Hand's a hand, and the hand is the transfer, it's not the makom hanacha. But in honestly, conceptually, there's two roles in the hand. The role is the hand is active, and that's transferring it, and it's transferring it to the aretz with the hand as the vehicle of the aretz. You know what I mean? So it's not the hand per se, it's really to the aretz. And the hand is just the vehicle of the aretz.
This is
a good question. But there's another question here is...
What's it doing here?
Remember your question. Yeah, what's it doing here? Because this is the halacha of Yad Lashon L'Chashuvah L'Kumakar Al-Arba. Right? But this has nothing to do with Abba Larva. This is the whole thing we're saying is that this is not Yodos Abba Larva, because if Yodos Abba Larva, then your hand is the transfer and the Makom Hanacha, but that can't be. So the Makom Hanacha is the Aretz. So there's nothing to do with Yodos Abba Larva. So what does it mean, V'chein? It's not V'chein. It's nothing to do with it. Right? That's a good problem. That's the problem. Right? Okay. Okay? Okay, so the question again. The question is why is this here? What does it mean to dalal dalal, right? Because really, it's munach on the aretz. So the thing is like this: is that That, how does it work Munach HaLaretz? How does it come Munach Baretz? So how's this like? So we're saying is because it means it's like the, sometimes you want to put something on the ground. You want to put it in the Nirashos. But you don't put it in the Nirashos. Sometimes you don't put it on the floor. Sometimes it's an easier way to do it. So you give it to the guy. Give it his hand. And his hand is really just, it's like a table. You're putting it on and it's easy makam anacha. But essentially you're getting it on the Aretz. It's just the hand is the vehicle or the that which gets it to the related to the Aretz. Okay, it depends. You could actually want it in his hand. But in this case, you don't want his hand. If it's in his hand is always already in his hand. He's pulling it back in order to bring it into the Nurashos. So he wants it really to be in the Nurashos, which is the characterized by the ground. And the hand is just like the extension of the ground. So the Makom is really the ground. It's not the hand, per se. But you'll say like this, is that, let's say, for instance, I put it down on a table. A table which is gimel, not dalal. Okay, so you'll say, look, that's sometimes the way I do it. Sometimes the way I do anacha is instead of putting it on the floor, I put it on the table. Okay? So, it's true that the table isn't dalet al dalet, and therefore it can't be like its own makom. Okay, it's not its own makom, because it's not the makom has to be dalet al dalet. But why don't you say it's just the relator to the ground, it's an extension of the ground. Okay, why don't you say it's an extension of the ground? The table, which is gimel gimel. Right, it's not a makom ifnei atzma, because it's not chashev. But why don't you say the table is an extension of the ground? Right, extension of the ground. So what's the answer if it's gimel gimel? Because
it's not a good holder?
Yes, because it's not a good holder. Because the ground has the characteristic of being a good holder, the stability. But a table which is 3x3 doesn't have that characteristic, so it can't be an extension of the ground. You want to put it on the ground, you want it to be stable, you're really giving me a real makom. But you can't say it's makom, the hand is just, the table which is 3x3 is just a vehicle of relating to the ground. Because it doesn't really relate to the ground in the manner of which Otsa necessitates. Because it has to have a permanent relationship to the ground. And you can't have an extension of the ground being something which lacks the property of Kvias, of being a good holder. Right? But if you put it in the guy's yad, so even if the yad isn't, in this case, can't be a makom per se, because it was the transfer, so it can't be the makom hanacha, but it still has the stability and it's able to be an extension of the ground via the fact that it's a good holder. So there's two dinim in Yad L'Shal Adam Chashuv Lo K'dal Al Dalet. One din in Yad L'Shal Adam Al Dalet is that it is a makom per se. And that's enough in the first case where you put it in the guy's hand. So why, where's the makom? His hand is a makom. It's a makom dalet. So that's it. That's the first case shows you that your hand itself is a makom. You don't need the aretz. Your hand is a makom. That's a makom dalet. But in the second case, it brings out the other way which you yad is kidal dalet. Because in the second case, if you pull it across, you can't say the makom, your hand is the makom dalet, because since the hand is the transfer, it can't be that you're transferring with your hand to your hand. That's not, so your hand can't be a makom dalet per se. So the only thing it could be is an extension of the ground. But an extension of the ground, it doesn't, you need to have the property of permanence of dalet. Dalet is a property of permanence as well as din makom. So saying, oh, but Yadoshal, in that sense, the other characteristic of Yadoshal is Kilika Dalal Dalit. Your hand has the permanence of Dalal Dalit. So that's V'chein, because he's showing you two cases, because it's bringing out another facet of Yado, in which it has Kedalal Dalit. Not just the facet that it's a Chaloshem Makom, Chashav, to be a Makom Hanacha, but there's a functional characteristic of Dalal Dalit, which also the Yad has. And the case which brings out that second characteristic is the second case. Because that's a case where you don't have the first characteristic, and it's like Yad Al Dalet, though, functionally, vis-a-vis the Kvias. You know what I mean? So it's nice the way the Ram does it. I mean, it's nice the way the Ram does it. He shows you, he's like, conceptually, he's bringing out Yad Al Dalet, he holds, there's two ideas in that. There's two ideas of Dalet Dalet. One is like, it has to have a Chaloshem Makom, but it's also the permanence. It has to be a Makom HaNachah, but it's tied with permanence. You need permanence. So the thing is, there's two dinim in Yadok. Yadok is both of those. It's a makom chashav and it has a permanence. So insofar as he's showing you the two dinim through the two cases. The first tells you the first one, and then the second case splits off the second din. So it doesn't have the first one, but it still has the second one. So that's why it's v'chein. Extension of the ground isn't just because... Now, there's an order to be extension of the ground. So you need two things. Because the ground is the holder. the perfect holder of the tzmai, okay? Now you're the holder of the object. Now your saying is you want to have this as an extension of the ground. So I'd say in order to be an extension of the ground, it has to have two things. First of all, it has to physically be attached to the ground, because otherwise it can be an extension. You know, extension can't, you know. But if it's physically physically attached to it, but functionally it's totally differentiated from it, doesn't have the properties of the ground, so then it can't be an extension of the ground. Because an extension of the ground vis-a-vis the function of holding the object. So the ground is the perfect holder, and this is a poor holder, then it's not an extension of the ground. You can't say it's like it's a munach on the aretz. Extension of the ground means, when you put it on there, it's like it's a munach on the aretz. But it's not, because when it's munach on the aretz, it's permanent. When it's here, it's not permanent. So that's not a way to relate it to the ground. It's not like an extension of the ground. Extension has to partake of the property of the thing itself. Otherwise, it's not place. That's just accidental place. Yeah, no, it has to be an extension of the property of a din makom. Part of din makom is totally intrinsically impermanent. If it's not permanent, that's totally doesn't do with makom. So it's just an accident. It's going to fall right off of it. That's not give you extension of the ground. Extension of the ground means it has permanence to it. The whole without makom, without permanence, is no din makom. No din makom. That's just a lowercase makom. It turns around, it's very precise. I mean, it's very precise the way around. I mean, you see like how packed the Manalach could be. And it's precise how he says Kemunach Ba'aretz in the second case, but not in the first one yet. It still belongs in this case because there's a second, in this Halacha, because there's a second facet of the Dalal Dalal. Through your action, you're making, you're rendering it. So through your action of transferring it and you're rendering it a munach in the rishos, because the hand begins. The hand that takes on two roles. It takes on the role of the carrier, the transferer, the active role, and then it becomes the extension of the rishos, the part of the guf, the passive role, okay, the part of the guf. So it's that's the action of transferring it is transferring it from the first rishos to the second, to the, like the ground of the second one. Okay, and the hand like splits off. The hand itself takes is like in one action. It kind of takes on two roles. It starts off as the transfer, and then it becomes the makom halacha. It could be that Rashi doesn't buy that. It could be Rashi holds that so far as the hand is the transferer, it can't then become the extension of the ground and the receive the makom. You could say that. You could say two things. You could say for Rashi you need a ma'isa halacha. In which case, you don't have ma'isa halacha. But then, that means Rika doesn't have ma'isa halacha, because Rika is different. And you could say that. You could say just Rashi doesn't need ma'isa halacha. It's possible. Or if you want to say Rashi agrees in theory, you could say it's still a move the Rambam was making, that the hand could, so to speak, switch in the middle. Right? It's the transfer. It like switches from the active to passive in the middle, and that's the makom. You could say, look, the hand, so far as the hand is doing the action, so therefore it can't be the makom, and it can't even be the makom as an extension. It's the action is koveya, the hand, in a certain capacity, and doesn't switch in the middle. I mean, I'm not sure. You could say that. It's hard to know. I mean, Rashi just says you need it. But if you want us to be closer, Rashi's a little closer that way. Say he needs a mice, so that's like a bigger question, you know. Okay, well, it's late. Okay, so let's look at for tomorrow. So Chaim has a question from Halacha Gimel, because in Halacha Gimel, it's where the mouth, it seems to run into the same problem, because the mouth is really doing the transferring, and the mouth seems to be the makom hanacha. So that's a problem. Let's think about that. It's a good question. And also, I'd like to do in that case, the first case in Halacha Gimel, what's this thing, v'chishev lahotzi ha'ochal shebepev? What does that mean? Right, what does that mean? You notice that? Yeah. Yeah, what's he talking about? Like what? As opposed to what? Like what's he trying to say? There's pshat even. You know, okay, but I don't want to go into all the cases of machshavta. We already did that, you know. So this is the first thing. I mean, answer that Chaim's question, then what's the chishulotzi, and then I think we're ready to do halachat v'adalad, which is basically our case. I mean, the water part we already did, but our case where he has the peros on the on the kli. Okay, so could we'll get to that tomorrow also.
Okay, now we're taking up the next piece in the Gemara, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. And we're just going to go briefly back to the Mishnah. After the Mishnah, is on Daf Lamed Beis. The Mishnah has gone through a series of differences between Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos, but basically pertaining to the idea of Hatzalah, Vishaptuei Devitzila, that by Dinei Nefashos there are certain mechanisms built in order to make it more difficult to convict. That's the basic objective is to find the schus. Okay, but of course it has to be within the framework of Mishpat. But in Dinei Mamonos we said that there is no concept of Hatzalah, because or schus, because basically we're, it would seem, I'm just for the purpose of description, that Bethan is kind of indifferent to the outcome, because whoever wins, the other one loses. There is no clear-cut schus. It's because that involves dinim mamonis. It's a monetary issue between two sides. So you can't favor one or the other. Whoever, if one side wins, the other side loses by definition. So therefore you don't have this idea of schus, certainly you don't have the idea of Hatzalah. That's why, I mean, By Dinei Mamonos, you have the concept of Pshara. That is, that...
Pshara?
Pshara means compromise. That is, the preference, if possible, not even to go to Din. Two parties have a dispute, so before you go to Din, Beis Din offers the option of Pshara. That's an interesting phenomenon. Pshara is a compromise. That is, if you both agree to working it out, the mutually acceptable, well, it doesn't have mutually... You have to accept that, but as Beis Din works out a compromise. So you do have the concept of compromise to forego din. Sometimes you forego din. That is, if you went, but if you don't want to do that, you go in accordance with absolute din, so then they have to go with absolute din. It's an absolute. And you don't have any mechanism over here to favor this outcome or that outcome, because it doesn't, as far as Beis Din is concerned, so there's going to be a winner and a loser, so to speak. But in terms of Dinei Nefashos, there, we do have the idea of of Hatzalah, because the person's life is at stake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there could be differences between obviously between the din and pshara. But you see, when you think about din is very, very abstract. It's kind of indifferent to the particular circumstances. So you can have a case against someone that, in terms of din, you might, this person might owe you a tremendous sum, whatever it is. But if you looked at it from the standpoint of pshara, then you take other things into consideration. That is how much you did for the other person, all the favors, so on and so forth. These can't be factored into in din. In din, it's a question, who owns the object? Where was, you know, then it becomes very cold and abstract. And you can't say, well, what, I helped you out, I took care of it, I did this. Yeah, but there was no contractual arrangement. You see what I'm saying? So in din, you can't take those factors into consideration. You could have two stories then about a dispute in terms of labor and the employer. And in terms of pshara, you could say, look, what a worker he was. He stayed late and he was concerned and he got his own hour. So in terms of pshara, you should take it into consideration. But if you go to din may not take those. If you weren't getting paid for it and you were a very nice guy and you volunteered and you helped, that doesn't factor into din. See, the din is dinei mafkir, dinei mamonos, and everything gets abstracted. The concrete, the particular, in pshara, the person who says, look, why don't we mention about it? I understand that I'll be din, I can demand such and such from you. But if you look into it from a different standpoint, all the factors, so then I'm willing to settle it in a different way. Over here, now the Mishnah is moving into a different category, which at first glance does not seem to be the same thing about having to do with schos and chov. Then it says, Dinei Mamonos donin b'yom. Dinei Mamonos, they're don b'yom. V'gomrim b'layla. And they can be gomer, they can conclude b'layla. So what does it mean, done and beyond? Means that they begin, it would seem that they have to be done by yom, which is a reference to Tchilas Din. Done and beyond, masu matin shel din. the masu makom. Apparently, according to Rashi, that means to say that by dinei mamonos, and obviously by dinei nefashos, as we'll see, it has to be done by yom, which means cannot be done by laila. However, what about gemara din? The gomer b'laila. So Rashi says imratzu, etc. Okay, if they want to. That is to say, there's no chiyuv to be gomer only dafka by yom.
They can finish within the day.
They can. No. It doesn't mean on the same day. That's for sure. There's no concept of halonas adin by dinei mamonos. It's only by dinei nefashos. But the question is, are they permitted to conduct din balayla? And by dinei mamonos, they're permitted to conclude balayla if they so choose. Okay? Donin b'yom v'gomer balayla. Dinei nefashos, donin b'yom v'gomer b'yom. You see, so what's the difference between Dina Nefashos and Dina Mamonos as far as Yom and Laila is concerned? Huh? In other words, it would seem that both of them have to begin. Danin, the Masa Matan, have to by day. Cannot begin by Laila. Cannot. But the question is, if you began Yom, can you conclude by Laila? Alright? And in terms of the Dinei Mamonos, the answer is yes, you can. There's no requirement that it concludes only beyond. By Dinei Nefashos, however, even for example, Bo Beyond. By Dinei Nefashos, you can conclude in one day if it's L'schus, if it's for acquittal. If you have a majority for acquittal, in fact, you should go to Gemar Din so you get the acquittal, where the deck is stacked in favor of acquittal. Okay? But let's say that they judged all day and it looks like they can get an acquittal, but they have to go into the night. Can they judge all day and continue the deliberations, which looks like we're going to look good? People are starting to, you could see there's a certain trend towards acquittal. And if we stayed a few hours into the night, we'll do the Gemara Din Balayla and we'll acquit him. What's the answer?
Impermissible.
No, you can't do that. Can't do that because Danan Bayom Vagomer Bayom. That's to say, apparently they adjourn at night. Apparently they would adjourn at night and wait till tomorrow. And tomorrow they'll continue, hoping that if they have the majority for acquittal, they'll conclude. It's interesting, there would be a risk factor there then. Mm-hmm. There would be a risk factor because anytime you postpone, they could think it over, they could always change their mind. I mean, according to Rav, you have the risk factor. According to Chum, you don't, because Rav holds that the Malamit Chus is Chos the Malamit Chos B'Shas Gemar Din. According to the other side, however, you wouldn't have a risk. You wouldn't have a risk. Because they hold that the Malamit Chus is Eino Chos or Malamit Chos, even B'Shas Gemar Din. Yeah, we pass it like Rav, though. So, we pass it like Rav, and this would entail a certain amount of risk. But nevertheless, you have no choice. Why? Because done in only by Yom. Now the Gemara takes this up on Daf Lama Dalet on the base, right where the lines get wider. Dinei Mamonos, Danin B'Yom, etc. So the Gemara asks the question, Nahani Mili. From whence do I know this? Amale Rav Chiya Bar Papa. So Rav Chiya Bar Papa answered him, the Yom HaKra. It says in the Pasuk, V'shachtu esa'am b'chol eis. And they shall judge the nation at any time.
Which pasuk?
Chaf Beis.
This is taken from the section where Yisro gives advice to Moshe. Now we can learn halachas from this. That his plan was to set up the judicial system. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was judging alone. From morning to night, and the Yisra said it's not going to work. It's not good for you. It'll wear you down, and it's not good for the people. You know, people have to get their response within a reasonable amount of time. What they say, justice delayed, so to speak. Now, after he explained basically the outlines of the system that the Yata Sechsa Mikolam Anshei Chayil Yirei Elokim Anshei Emes Anshei Batza. All the requirements for individuals, all this is Torah, because it was accepted. And people that have all these qualities, and then the organizational. He says, so then you have a system and they can judge the people at any time. It's always available, the availability of justice. And so the big matters they'll bring to you. That is, the idea that certain things can't be resolved by the law courts, so then you need Moshe Rabbeinu. But those things which they can resolve, so basically, we're quoting that pasuk, "B'shaftu asam b'chaleis." So b'chaleis, what does that teach us? Also, bear in mind, here's a case where b'chaleis just means that, is that what Yisrael meant? That we're taking it to mean what? B'chaleis. What's the Gemara taking it to mean? Laila, even nighttime. Okay, but it's not taking it. But it's interesting. But it's only taking it if that's the case. So why can't you muscle? No. Okay, good question. Shabbos and Yom Tov and so forth. We'll take that up. That's the next piece. That we can't be muscle on Arab Shabbos. We can't start a case on Arab Shabbos.
Even Mamlos?
Maybe, but that wasn't the plain shot. The plain shot is b'chaleis. It'll mean this all the time. That is, if it's dependent upon one person, then you can't just get. You have to have an appointment and you have to wait and so forth. But once you have a system, it's available, readily available. It's just an expression. So I'm not saying necessarily that they learned that the halacha of Laila from B'chaleis, but rather it's part of the Masorah. Then the question is, but where is this idea referred to in the Torah Shel Chasav? So that's the reference point. If so, Chilas Din Nami. What do you mean? If you're going to learn from the Shaftos on Chaleis, so also why do you say? Why are you saying that it's only for Gemara Din Balaila? And that's teaching you Laila, that comes to include Laila. So what about Chilas Din? So why can't you begin the Din at night as well from there? So the Gemara answers Kedir Rava, in accordance with Rava, the Rava Rami. Because Rava raised the question. Ksiv, it says, V'Shaftos on Chaleis. Apparently, there's an apparent contradiction. It says, V'shaftu asam b'chaleis. Okay, which implies day and night. Uchsiv, and it says, V'hoya b'yom hanchilu as banav. And will be on the day when he inherits his banav, his children. Okay, so what does that have to do with? B'yom hanchilu. So take a look at Rashi. Mishpat Nachalos. So this is a reference to the judge. That's Mishpat. Inheritance is Mishpat. It's Dinim Mamonos. The laws of inheritance. Dehainu Dinim Mamonos Biyom. So that's what we learn now. That is to say, with regard to Nachala, which is another aspect of Dinim Mamonos, it connects it with Yom. It says, Biyom Achil is Bano. That means to say that Nachala can only be in the daytime. And it's not just Nachala, because Nachala is just an illustration, it's just an example of a case of Dinei Mamonos. So you have a contradiction. One pasuk implies Dinei Mamonos is Dafka B'yom. The other pasuk implies V'shaftu Asam Chaleis, which implies that Dinei Mishpat. Matters of Mishpat can be B'chaleis, even Malayla. So, L'chora, apparently, it is a contradiction. Alright, so now, getting back to the Gemara, okay, Tzad. So how do you resolve this? So the resolution is, Yom L'Tchilas Din, Laila L'Gmar Din. That is to say, that's the resolution. There is an aspect of Din that requires Yom, and there is an aspect of Din which is permitted by Laila. There's no contradiction. Ah, what is the resolution though? When you're talking about Tchilas Din, so then you cannot do it by Laila. But once you started it by Yom, and you've done what you got to do, your due diligence, whatever it is, you just want to be Gomer the Din, so that you can have Balala. Of course you can ask the question, of course one can ask the question of Mamshach. Why should you make this distinction? Why should you make such a distinction of Mamshach? I mean, either if you see that Gemar Din, that you can do Dini Mamshach but Balala, So why can it only start it by day? What difference does that make? What do I care? It should be consistent. If the principle is that you can't have mishpat at night, so then it should be consistent. You shouldn't have it at all. And if and so on. And if you can't have it by night, so then why only eat it around it? Why can't you do that school? But there's another question, though. Why can't it be switched? The next question, however, will be that the psukkah merely indicates that this one element, the Badin Mamanis, that's got to be by day, and one can be by night. So we're saying Haskhala must be by day, and Gemara can be by night. But how do you know that?
Why is that true?
Why does it matter?
Rashi says...
He's saying at night.
Let's see if Adam's question is a good question or not. So Rashi says, Laila l'gmar din. So Rashi gives a reason for this. D'chsev v'shaftu. That is to say, we're learning it out from the pasuk of v'shaftu, b'chaleis. Okay? The ikar mishpat hainu gmar din. And the essential mishpat is the gmar din. So therefore, the pasuk which is b'chaleis, is v'shaftu, which is mishpat. And the essential mishpat is gemar din. So that makes sense to say that should be b'layla. Okay, so now you have another pasuk which indicates only b'yom, so if gemar din is every layla, so that's the yeah. Well, mishpat, what does Rashi mean by ikar mishpat is gemar din? What does he mean by that? I mean, ikar mishpat is gemar din. Good. Because he's not saying that it's exclusively, that mishpat is exclusively gemar din. Because there's two aspects to it. The process that you go through is mishpat. The fact that Bezdin goes through this process with accuracy and integrity and so forth, there's a process of mishpat. That's what you see. There's a process of mishpat.
But I think it's
the ikar is really the result that they dispense justice. Right. The conclusion has to be... But it's not just an abstraction, it has to be to provide justice. Mm-hmm. So the kiyum, the objective, the fulfillment is when justice is provided. That's the ikar. So it's true that the process, it also is an activity of mishpat, but the ikar is really the result, the provision of mishpat to the society, and that's by... So that's what it says, v'shaftu, that could be b'chaleis. So apparently the gemar din... The Gemara Din can be Balal. Now the Gemara says, Masnisan, our Mishnah, the Loker of Meir, is not in accordance with Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, for we learned, Hayy Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir would say, Matam and Lomar, Al PM Yep, Kol Riv, V'chol Nega. Interestingly, this is in the Varam Chaf Aleph. It's in the Parsha of Egla Rufa. That is the case where somebody was found to be murdered between two cities, Lo No Dami Yiko, and we don't know who killed him.
Mm-hmm.
The murderer has not been found. So there's a whole procedure where there's a canyon, they have to measure the closest city, and does a canyon come out, and so forth. And then they have to go through this activity where they arufa, where they chop the head of the calf, and then they have to make a declaration. Yadena lo shokhu at the damaza. Our hands have not spilled his blood. Okay, but anyways, one of the psukim says v'horidu zikne ho'ir ahi esa egla. Then it starts off by there has to be a representation from the Sanhedrin Hagadol. They send representation to measure up the cities. Once that's established, then the members of the local Sanhedrin, that is the city which has been designated as the closest one, then they come forth and they do the service, so to speak. But read the zikna yirahi yes egla nachalesan ashal lo ye aved bov lo yizorea v'yofru shamas egla v'nachal. Then it says, "V'nikshu haKohanim b'nei Levi," and the Kohanim b'nei Levi approach, "Kivam v'achar Hashem alokecha l'sharso," because God chose them to minister unto Him, "ulavarek b'shem Hashem," and to bless in the name of Hashem, "v'al pihem yakol riv v'chol naga," and according to their word shall be all riv and all naga. What's interesting is that it's pointing out all of the activity, so to speak, of the Kohanim. And that is Sherus, that they do the abode in the Beis HaMikdash, then Levarach B'Shem Hashem, that the Birkas Kohanim, the Alpia Mia Kol Riv Kol Noga, and Noga, I understand, that's Nega, we just learned, it's Saras. Saras can only come about through the pronouncement of the Kohen, as we learned. And it doesn't matter how biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, who understands Megayim better than the Kohen, Kohen could be an ordinary Kohen, the Talmud Chacham cannot render him into a Teruah. That can only be done through the Kohen. But what about Riv? What about Riv? Why is it pointing out to Riv over here? What's the union of Riv? Why is it mentioning Riv? Riv is justice. It's judgment. So getting back to the Gemara points this out. As the Pasuk says, Al-Pi'em, according to their decision, shall be Kol Riv, V'chol Nega. So it's drawing a comparison between Riv and Nega. Now, Kohanim do play a role in terms of Riv as well, because all things being equal, you're supposed to have Kohanim on the Sanhedrin. Okay? So they are connected. Although you don't have to be a Kohen to be on the Sanhedrin, but it's a key in the Sanhedrin that it should have Kohanim. Kohanim, of course, are qualified to minister justice. Okay, fine. But the point is, what are you bringing? That's the question over here. What's the connection between Riv? So here the Torah made a hekesh by bringing the two together in this pasuk, where it really seems to be not even necessary. It's the ditzo to make a hekesh between Riv and Nega. Now, Riv is mishpat, okay, because that means a dispute. Okay, so they resolve disputes. That's mishpat. And Nega is a separate category. Elamakish Rivim Lenegayim. But let's make a hekesh between Rivim and Negayim. Ma Negayim Biyom. Just like Negayim must be Bayom. Okay? How do I know? Dechsiv Ubiyom Heiroos Bo. And on the day, that's a reference to Tarat in Vayipra. And on the day that it will be shown to him. That is the Nega. So you see, that's the halacha in the Gaya. That the Kohen can only pronounce it a Nega by day. As you will see, and what Mimi points out, what time of the day and so forth. But now you can't. And if you say, well, of course he can, because he can't see it, it's dark. No, I mean, you could have, like today, you have electric light, and well, just me, it's not just that. I mean, it means to say that it can't be done at night. It's a categorical phenomenon. So what's the connection? Makish Rivim Lagayim, Mayna Gam Biyom, just like Dechse Biyom, Af Rivim Biyom. Ah, so Riv is also Biyom. Uma Negayim Shalom Besumin, and just like Negayim, Nega cannot be done with blind Kohanim, with Sumin. Dechse Lachol Mara Enei HaKohen, in accordance with the full vision of the Kohen, Af Rivim Shalom Besumin. So too, Rivim cannot be done by Sumin. Umakish Negayim Rivim. And he compares Negayim to Rivim. Ma Rivim, Shalom B'Krovim, just like Riv. Dine Mamin is another. Mishpat. Each one teaches things to the other, so to speak. So just like a Riv can't be done with Krovim, that is relative. You can't have a judge who's a relative. If he's related to any of the parties, he's automatically excluded. Not just by Dinim Amnes, but by Dinim Nefashis as well. So, Af Negayim Shalom B'Krovim. It's interesting that the Nega cannot be pronounced by a Kohen who's related to the person. Preparation of the Gemara. Then there was a question, Ima Rivim B'Shlosha. If you're telling me there's a comparison between Rivim and Negayim, so why not make this point? That you have to have at least three people for a Riv, because the smallest court is best, and you have to have at least three. So, Rivim Mishlosha, Af Negayim Mishlosha. Like, Just the Gemara is saying that just like Mishpat requires a riv, it's called riv in this case, requires three, so too, Sanhedrin should require three Kohanim. But the point is, but it doesn't, that's the question. What, so why do you say you need three Kohanim? And then the Gemara says, it didn't work. To the kind, it makes sense, it's law, it makes sense. Mimono b'shlosha, if matters pertaining to one's money requires three, gufa lo kol sheken, shouldn't something which pertains to his body, to pronounce the person it's a rua, it's a ras, and he has to be chutz l'mach, and all the consequences, certainly should require three. Talmud lomar, so therefore, the pasuk specifically points out, v'huva el aron ha-kohen. Oh, el achad. Mibanav ha-kohanim, or to one of his children, the kohanim. So the pasuk is going out of its way to make it clear that all you need is one kohen. So the havmina is a good havmina, but we have a pasuk which says that when it comes to negayim, all you need is one. You don't need three. Halamadatu thus you learn shafilu kohen echad roa is not a goyim. That's not a goyim. That even one kohen can view the negayim. Okay. The question of the Gemara, well, the question of the point is, the Gemara is saying that Reb Meir apparently disputes. It would appear that Reb Meir disputes that contention. In other words, that we have machlokas, because Reb Meir is makish rivim l'negayim. Okay. Now, one of the points is that nega is biyom. So he says, just like nega is biyom, so too riv is biyom. Riv is dinimavus. Right. So, according the way the Gemara is learning, according to Reb Meir, there's no basis. It's dumb. It's dumb. Riv is biyom, which would imply the beginning and the end. There's no basis for having any kind of aspect of
Lila.
Of Lila, as opposed to our Mishnah. So it's the machlokas. That's what the Gemara wants to say. So Rashi says, Rivim afilu gemar din mashma. The term is all inclusive. There's no basis. The resolution of disputes. What's Riv? Al piyam ye kol riv achol nega. They'll resolve. The usage of the term riv in that context implies the resolution of disputes. So the resolution of disputes must be done by day. But the resolution implies the resolution, which would imply gemar din. Okay? So now we have a machlokas. At least at this stage of the game, we have a machlokas with regard to the issue of dinei mamonis. Reb Meir holds that dinei mamonis is beyom. Apparently, according to him, there's no difference between dinei mamonis and dinei nefashos on this count. So he would disagree with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah differentiated that dinei nefashos is maschilim beyom v'gomrim beyom. Dinei mamonis is maschilim beyom v'gomrim beyom. So they all agree. They all agree in terms of the haschala, haschala beyom. Machlokas is, can you be gomrim beyom?